Thank you, Kevin. I'd like to thank the organizers for what so far at least has been a very pleasurable conference. This is joint work with Maciej Gulas, been corresponding for some time now. What I want to speak about are rational points on curves of genus greater than one. We know that this set of points on any specific curve will be a finite set. I'm particularly interested in curves of arbitrary genus rather than curves of genus 2, 3. A lot of computational work has been done on low genus curves, finding examples with lots of points on it. Michael Stoll, who was mentioned this morning in Patrick's talk, has in January of this year posted a remarkable example of a genus 2 curve. So a hyperelliptic curve of form y squared is a sextic. Y squared is a sextic polynomial in x, which represents the current record for the number of points on a curve of genus 2. It's an extraordinary example, 642 rational points, so 321 pairs, x plus or minus y. Now, the coefficients of this sextic are, I forget, 10 to the 7th, 10 to the 8th. It's a tour de force of computing, and in fact, there's some very deep mathematics that underlies his finding of this example, related to K3 surfaces. But I'm not going there. I'm doing something much more elementary this morning. Our concern is to consider curves of arbitrary genus and try and come up with families of curves that have a minimum number of points, a lower bound for the number of points. So when I say parameterizations of rational points on this curve and related curve, the n will be genuinely n and not 5 or 6 or 10 or 12. Our goal is to show that there are infinitely many non-isomorphic curves of this type, and so let me show you what the related curves are here. These are the curves which I'm talking about. In each case, we'll show that there are infinitely many non-isomorphic curves of that type with a certain minimum number of points. Now, I stand here actually embarrassed and shamefaced in the light of Stoll's results, because the best we can do in these cases is really quite pathetic. Trying to find relations between nth powers for general n is actually not too easy. So the best we can do, for example, on the y squared is x to the n plus k, is show that there are infinitely many curves of this type which have 4 points. 4 points x, y, 8 points x plus or minus y. So in some sense, there's a liminf going on here over this family. It'll always depend. The number of points depends crucially on whether the degree of the y on the left and the degree of the x on the right have a factor in common or not. If n is odd, we can produce 4 points, 4 pairs of points on the top curve. If n is even, the best we can do is 3 pairs of points. And as you go down the list, the top two are very much related, the middle, the third and the fourth are related, and the bottom one is pretty general. We get fewer and fewer points. For the third and fourth, we can only come up with something like 5 and 4 points on the curve. For the bottom one in general, if m and n are co-prime, we can come up with 2 points. We can show there are infinitely many curves of that type where there are 2 rational points. The interesting cases are actually where m and n are not co-prime, and it's very difficult to say much about points, rational points on such a curve. Throughout, we use the following simple lemma. I'm only going to give reference to the techniques in the first curve. So let me state a simple lemma we use over and over again, that this system of quadratics has infinitely many solutions in the function field Q of A1, A2, A3, A4. And the idea is very simple. We produce an elliptic curve out of this. The system's equivalent to just solve for T. You obtain the intersection of two quadratics over the field Q, A1, A2, A3, A4. The intersection of two quadrics with rational points on it is certainly an elliptic curve. Here we have eight rational points on this curve, given by plus or minus one of the UIs. So, in fact, these 8 points form Z2 cross Z2 cross Z, a group of Z2 cross Z2 cross Z on the curve. Is there any way of keeping it? Brilliant. Can I keep the change? So this explains, and now the point 1111 is taken as 0, 111 minus 1 turns out to be a point of infinite order, so we can add this point to itself and obtain the result that there are infinite many ui and t on this original quadratic system. And then specifically, as an example of the type of uis you obtain here, if you double the point 111 minus 1, simple computation on an elliptic curve, you end up with this quadratic function of the AIs. And this is one we use repeatedly. Let me show you how this applies to the first example, y squared is x to the n plus k. And I'm going to look at the case n odd. I'm really only going to look at very few of these curves because you get a fusillade of formulas that really are not very interesting. But the way we attack this is simply to make a substitution of the type AIT, UIT to the A minus 1. This reduces now in the system UI squared minus A1, AI to the NT is equal to this K over T to the N minus 1. It's exactly the formula whereby we can apply the lemma. If I replace capital AI by little AI to the N, we can obtain 4 points, UI, U1, U2, U3, U4, and T here. And so we deduce these 4 points, where the UIs are given by this, on the curve, where K is given by that. So this is the first example of parameterization of 4 points on y squared is x to the N plus K. This factor at the bottom here was really quite a surprise to us. If you can't read it, it's the product over all the choices of signs of A1 to the N over 2, plus or minus A2 to the N over 2, etc. This originally, in our calculations, was a quartic polynomial of degree 4n, and it took us some time to realize that it had this very nice factorization into a product over these plus or minus signs. This turns out to have some interest in a slide or two's time. Well, here's a four integer parameters which will give us curves of this type with four pairs of points on it. There's always the snag. We need to know that there are infinitely many non-isomorphic curves. There's always the snag that no matter what parameters you take, maybe you're only ending up with a finite set of isomorphism classes. So you have to give some argument as to why you're ending up with infinitely many non-isomorphic curves here. It's relatively easy to do. A curve y squared is x to the n plus k1, and a curve y squared is x to the n plus k2 are isomorphic if and only if the ratio of k1 to k2 is a 2nth power. So a necessary condition for isomorphism is that k1 times k2 should be a square. That's all I'm going to use. Well, again, if you strain your eyes, this formula has a parenthesis and a parenthesis to the n minus 1. N in this particular case is odd, so we have a huge square in k times this factor of the n. So what I need to try and do is to show that I can drive infinitely many non-isomorphic curves. So I'm going to use this condition, k1, k2 necessarily must be a square for isomorphism. So choose your favorite parameters, a2, a3, a4, b2, b3, b4, with the property that if I put into this product x, a2, a3, a4, I get a polynomial of degree 4n in x. Compare the k2, which will give me a polynomial of degree 4n in x, given by the b2, b3, b4. You choose your b2, b3, b4 so that these two polynomials are coprime. You can certainly avoid the roots, these roots of the first polynomial for suitable choice of beings. So the product then k1 corresponding to the a's, k2 corresponding to the b's, if multiplied together, give me a polynomial of degree 8n with no repeated factor. Well, the condition that a polynomial of degree 8n be a perfect square is a hyperelliptic curve of genus 4n or something. So it has only finitely many rational points. By choosing x, your a1 essentially, to avoid any of those finite set of points, you then have a k1 and a k2 whose product is not a square, and you therefore have, since you can choose x in infinitely many ways, you therefore have k1 and k2 whose product is not a square. You can use infinitely many non-isomorphic curves in this way. With four degrees of free, four integer parameters, we're quite convinced we can do better than this, even though we've been unsuccessful to date. There ought to be some way of choosing or specializing these parameters to obtain better than 4 points on the curve. I was aware some years ago, in fact, that when n was 5 in particular, y squared is x to the fifth plus k, you could find infinitely many non-isomorphic curves with at least 6 pairs of points, for example, much better than our 4. Although I have to say, the computation there was quite interesting. When looking at points on y squared is x to the fifth plus k, it turned out I could prove there were infinitely many positive k where there were 6 pairs of points, but I could only get 3 pairs of points when k is negative. We've since beaten over this 4. But a couple of years ago, I tried quite hard computing and could only deduce that there were 3 pairs of points, or infinitely many examples where you could find 3 pairs of points to k negative. And then it became clear to me why this should be, what the difference between the positive and the negative k was. If you look at the real locus of this curve, if you're looking at y squared is x to the fifth plus k, and k is positive, then of course x has to lie in the interval minus the fifth root of k to infinity. Now, if you're looking at k negative, x has to lie in plus the fifth root of k to infinity. So you have far more rationals to look at in the case where k is negative. That was a joke. I find when I teach American students, my humor is very difficult for them to understand. Like, it's now got to the stage where I'll tell them something perfectly serious, and they'll burst out giggling, and I'll say, "What are you all laughing at? Oh, we thought you just made a joke." yes, the fact there are more rationals in minus k to 1, forget it. But let me illustrate, just because I did spend some time a couple of years ago on y squared is x to the fifth minus k and could only get these 3 pairs, let me illustrate how this current formula allows you very easily to find examples with 4. Because of the symmetry, you can choose the parameters to satisfy this. If you remember the sine of k was given by this enormous square times the product of this function over all the plus and minus signs. So we can determine the sine of k. We can force k negative in particular by demanding this inequality. And now it's easy to see that for general n, you can certainly choose a2, a3, a4 appropriately to satisfy this inequality. In fact, it's easy to check that for sufficiently large m, these values of the parameters will satisfy this inequality. So for curiosity, I wrote it down for n is 5. In the case n is 5, you obtain this family of curves. With the corresponding 4 pairs of points. So that's better than the 3. Let me skip curve 2. Well, I'll skip the case n even. I've only presented the case n odd, but for n even, we can come up with a parameterization that will give you 3 pairs of points. I'm going to skip curve 2. I'm going to look at the curve 3. And again, let me split this up into 2 cases. The case where n is divisible by 3 will be different because of the presence of the 3 on both sides of the equation, so there's a problem here. So we can certainly take positive integers alpha, beta, which make a linear combination of n and 3, 1. And then if we do have 3 pairs of points on this curve, I really should have used a larger font. How about that? If we really have 3 pairs of points on this curve, then by setting, again, one of these parametrizations, we can deduce the following equation. So I should stress here that the ideas in every one of these cases is to produce an elliptic curve which has a point of infinite order on it. In the very first case, this was easy. This was trivial. This intersection of quadrics with 1, 1, 1, 1 was trivial. It becomes a little more tricky in some of these other cases. Here we can obviously obtain an elliptic curve because this ratio can be simplified to this homogeneous Q cubic in the BIs over the function field QA2, QA1, A2, A3. Now, we obviously have a rational point on this curve over the function field, namely B1, B2, B3 is 1, 1, 1. So we have an elliptic curve. The problem is, do we have any other points in order to create a, well, the idea of taking a point of infinite order and taking a multiple is to find a section on the original variety that we're interested in. So we need an example of a curve like this which has further points on it, and it's not obvious how to construct further points on here. So this is where a lot of the experimentation, the theme of this workshop, a lot of experimentation can be done by specializing parameters numerically, computing the appropriate points on the curve and looking for patterns. In this case, it's relatively straightforward. If you actually specialize the AIs to be cubes, for the purposes of symmetry, I choose the cubes in this way rather than just the R cubed, S cubed, T cubed, the elliptic curve becomes this, and it contains a nice rational point. So we're off again. We have a point of infinite order on this curve, and we can compute the parameterization, which leads to that example. So on the curve, y cubed is x to the n plus this particular value of k, where the capital T is given by the thing at the top, you have 3 points here. Let me give a further example of the problems arise in determining a curve of positive rank. This came with one of the cases for curve 4. This is the case where there's going to be a 3 in the degree in each side of the equation. So here, if you insist upon there being 2 points on this curve, which was the best we could actually do, but if you insist there are 2 points, then you get a system of equations that look like this. Uy1 and Vy2 give you these equations, and so result in this particular elliptic curve. It's written non-homogeneously, the y1, y, but you can obviously homogenize it by replacing yi by yi over y3. So here's an elliptic curve. There's an obvious point on it, given by taking y1 is the cube root of u to the n plus 1, y2 the cube root of v to the n plus 1, but again we're in the situation where there's only one obvious point. The only obvious point is this, and we obtain a Weierstrass curve in this way. So this was another rather awkward example. It took us a long time to discover that we didn't even need to specialize the parameters in any way. There is actually a point on this curve. This curve does possess a point of infinite order, namely this. But again, it was produced by experimentation with the parameters. So we're in business. We have a point on the curve of infinite order. We can compute the corresponding y's, which are not particularly interesting, but are easy to compute. And so you obtain for curve 4, in the case n is congruent to 2 mod 3, you deduce this family of curves, which has either 3 or 5, depending on the parity of n. The formulae intrinsically are not themselves interesting, but the fact one can obtain these results. The final curves, y to the n equals x to the m plus k, very little seems to be able to be said about these curves. You're now asking for relations between m and n powers. When m and n are coprime, then you're okay. You can apply an appropriate substitution to linearize the y to the n, the x to the m, and you can obtain the following theorem. There are infinitely many curves with at least 2 finite rational points. A very, very simple theorem. But it seems very hard to produce examples of such curves where there are going to be 3 rational points. In the instance that m and n are not coprime, it's difficult to make much progress. There's one very nice example in the literature that I could find due to Chowdhury and Wroblewski, who show that there are infinite many curves. So these are actually curves of genus 3, but they're curves x to the 4th minus y to the 4th equals k. And they show there are infinitely many k, such that curve has 3 quadruples, because the plus or minus, 3 quadruples of points, which is a very nice argument. For general exponents, it seems very difficult to make much progress. We only looked at one example and have the theorem that if n is fixed and odd, then you can find infinitely many non-isomorphic curves, y to the 4th is x to the 2n plus k, with 2 essentially distinct points on the curve. Let me just make a few remarks then about the Jacobian varieties of these curves. In certain instances, the curve y squared is x to the n plus k, for example, going back to curve 1, y squared is x to the n plus k, you can find maps from this curve of high genus to an elliptic curve. Obviously, if n is divisible by 3, you can find a map from y squared is x to the n plus k to y squared is x cubed plus k. So the geometers will tell you that in that situation, the elliptic curve y squared is x cubed plus k is a factor of the Jacobian. What we can do is show that the 4 points on the curve C map to independent points on the elliptic curve, on the underlying elliptic curve. So this uses a technique of looking at the automorphisms of the underlying function field, and it's not difficult to prove that the images of the 4 points we obtained originally are independent in this elliptic curve. So you now have a lower bound on the rank of the Jacobian, for example. If n divides 3 and n is odd, then the rank of the Jacobian of y squared is x to the n plus k is at least 4. We can do this for each of the curves that I was interested in. The nice properties occur when, of course, your curve of high genus has several maps to an elliptic curve. If n is divisible by 4, then y squared is x to the n plus k has a map to an elliptic curve. You just take the fourth root. You take the n over fourth root. And you get a different elliptic curve. So in the case where 12 divides n, you can actually construct at least 3 elliptic curves that are factors of the Jacobian. And you can obtain lower bounds on the ranks of these Jacobian curves. I'm going to stop there. I can fire off, as I say, far more formulae for you, but I don't think that's particularly interesting.